stand by for unindoctrination. Connecting now to the Mutual Broadcast Network. The Christian Whistleblower.
Connecting.
The Christian Whistleblower.
You are now connected.
And now, taking on over 2,000 years of doctrination head-on, stand by for deep-end information. Asking questions you're already afraid to ask. Stand by for parabiblical research, spiritual technology. Get ready to be your own guru. Master your own ascension. Guide your own spirit. And now, showing you how, here's the Christian Whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Well, hello, folks. This is Jeffrey Dardy, your Christian Whistleblower. Got the old intro in there. We'll correct that. Sorry about that. But, hey, that's how things go sometimes. Live radio, you gotta love it. There's got to be a way to get this thing deleted out of here, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to find it, I promise you. Jeffrey Dardy, the Christian Whistleblower, coming to you live via Blog Talk Radio, back to the original home of the Christian Whistleblower. Actually, it was New Covenant Kabbalah. We're going to talk about that tonight. And we also have the video simulcast right now at jeffreydardy.com. We have the video simulcast at jeffreydardy.com, and I'm just sending out a little message to us, to everybody. Watch me live right now, so there you go. All right, folks, and here we are tonight. I'm going to go ahead and open up the chat room as well at Blog Talk Radio so we can have some chat. But we've got some interesting stuff going on tonight. And, of course, the big one of the big news stories is that down goes Cruz. Ted Cruz is done. Ted Cruz is over. And, of course, now so is John Kasich. But before I get too far into things, I just want to announce that next week I'll be speaking at the Paradigm Symposium. You'll hear that commercial coming up in our breaks. So we're going to have our Christian Whistleblower show on Monday. But we're going to move it to 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. So you will hear the Christian Whistleblower moving forward at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, and that'll be on Monday. But since I'm speaking at the Paradigm Symposium all next week, we won't have any other shows next week. It'll just be Monday. And then when we pick up, so we will have a show Monday, May 9th at 9 p.m., which will be the new start time for the Christian Whistleblower show. And then when we get back from the Paradigm Symposium, we'll be starting again on May 16th, which is a Monday. So May 16th, 9 p.m., the Christian Whistleblower. And then on May 17th, we'll have our very first Create Yourself program. That's going to be a great one-hour interview show with some of the cutting-edge personalities in the spiritual realm. And maybe sometimes in the political realm, if there are people that also have an idea and a leaning towards spirituality. And then Wednesday will be Christian Whistleblower again at 9, the 18th, the 19th will be Create Yourself. So starting the week of May the 16th, you will have every Monday and Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, the Christian Whistleblower show. And then every Tuesday and Thursday, at the same 9 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. or 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, you will have Create Yourself, the great interview program. So long story short, starting May 16th, the Christian Whistleblower Mondays and Wednesdays, Create Yourself Tuesdays and Thursdays, all starting at 9 p.m. Eastern time, 6 p.m. Pacific. So we want to be able to give you the great cutting-edge information on the Christian Whistleblower and be able to bring you some cutting-edge interviews from some of the best on the Create Yourself program. I also want to let you know on Monday the 9th, I will be interviewing with Vinny Eastwood. If you know Vinny Eastwood, his great program, I'll be live with Vinny Eastwood, and I'll tell you what time it'll be here in just one moment. So Monday, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time, which, of course, will be 9 to 11 p.m. on Eastern time. So we're going to have a little bit of an issue there, but we will figure out the Christian Whistleblower next Monday. So we'll be on the Vinny Eastwood radio talk show. That's over American Freedom Radio. And if you don't know Vinny, Vinny's basically he's basically the Alex Jones of New Zealand. He probably would hate for me to say that, but I've been on with Vinny before. It's a great show. It's a lot of fun. And we'll be on Monday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific time, live with Vinny Eastwood. So look forward to that. And as we were getting to before I got a little bit sidetracked, and by the way, if you do want to ask questions or make statements, you can do so via my Twitter and via my Facebook. I'm monitoring them both. Plus, we do have the web, the chat here at the Blog Talk Radio as well. And I see some of you are in there, so feel free to make yourself or avail yourself of that as well. But moving back to our subject matter, Ted Cruz goes down. He has been defeated. He has been eliminated. He has been ousted. Ted Cruz is gone. And if you've been following or listening to my broadcast for any length of time, you know that because Ted Cruz has been defeated, the Lord's plans have been defeated, at least for now. You know that we have talked about at length and did a great prophecy and proved that the Lord did pick Ted Cruz to be the president of the United States. But for now, the Lord's will has been thwarted and has been defeated. Yaldabaoth, Marduk, Yahweh, Jehovah, the Lord, that guy, his will has been defeated with the defeat of Ted Cruz. But he's not going to just give up, folks. He's not just going to lay down. If you remember, and if, again, if you followed us for any length of time, the Lord has been at this game for a long, long time. And if there's one thing we've learned about the Lord, it's that he takes a licking and he keeps on ticking. So the Lord is down, but he's not out. The Lord has been defeated in the realm of American politics for the time being. And I wouldn't even put it past Cruz to try some shenanigans come Cleveland time, which, of course, is the Republican National Convention. But for now, the Lord's plans have been defeated. Ted Cruz was his selected candidate. They pulled out all the stops, but they came up short, and they have been defeated. So, folks, it's time to pat yourself on the back. It's time to blow on those little noisemaker things and put a silly hat on because we won. We won. We defeated the plans of the Lord. We thwarted the plans of the Lord. We upset the Lord's apple cart. We won. And I mean we won. I am convinced that we were a part of this defeat of Ted Cruz, of this defeat of the Lord's plans. When you think about how long I've been talking about this, we've had probably 50,000 visits to the YouTube channel during that time. We've had, you know, several thousand listeners. I don't know if being on that one network. Of course, there's a reason why I'm not there anymore. I don't know how many people we reached there. But just say just in that 50,000 people that listened on YouTube, think of these spiritual projections we put out into the universe. Think of these of the energy that we projected and the intention we projected out into the universe. Folks, I'm telling you, our teachings about Ted Cruz being empowered and selected by the Lord and our, and you can go back on the YouTube and watch all those. They're pretty easy to find. And we did have an effect. Pat yourself on the back for that. Congratulate yourself for that. And know that we were a part of this defeat. And folks, we have a huge, huge opportunity before us right here and right now. And I want you to know that it's not really Donald Trump that everybody's excited about. What Donald Trump has done is tapped into or maybe spurred, maybe helped create this vein of individualism. So it's not so much Trump. It's individualism that is being regenerated within the will of the American. It's not so much Donald Trump, but it's empowerment that is being regenerated within the American people. It's not so much Donald Trump, it's enlightenment that is being regenerated within the American people. And it looks like Trump and us and others that are like us have been able to create enough power, enough intention, and enough plain old good juju to get the individualism on the rise, to get empowerment on the rise, to get enlightenment on the rise. And now, folks, is the time. It's time to go pedal to the metal. It's time for us to push forward. It's time for us to expand. It's time for us to be about doing what we can do. If you feel led to help me do more, then please do help me. JeffreyDaugherty.com, ChristianWhistleblower.com. I'm going to get out on the road. Next week we'll be in Minnesota. We're going to be doing our best to be on the road as much as possible. I've got the RV. It's licensed. It's ready to rock. It's ready to roll. We put the maintenance into it. We can go. If you have a conference you want us to be at, contact me. If you have a spiritual center you want us to preach at, contact me. If you've got an empty lot and you think you can get some people out there and you want us to come over, contact me. We are putting the pedal to the metal because thanks to Donald Trump and thanks to folks like us in this broadcast, there is a rise of individualism, a rise of empowerment, a rise of enlightenment, and a turning away from indoctrination. And again, it's not Donald Trump. He's just helped tap into a vein, and he's helped to expose that vein, and he's helped to really drive this and get people thinking, get people moving, and get people crack-a-lackin'. And that is something worth celebrating. You were a part of that. Pat yourself on the back. I was a part of that. Help me out. And let's continue to put pedal to the metal. We want to get the paranormal trip with Jeffrey Daugherty going. That's where we'll go to the paranormal places. We'll take videos. We'll put them on as a web series on the air and show you those things. We want to get going to these conferences, and we want to get going to spiritual centers. So it's time to go now. We're locked. We're loaded. We're ready to rock and roll. And I would appreciate any help that you might have. If you have a Thousand Trails membership or a membership in some other type of an RV thing that you'd like to donate to me, please let me know, because that does add up. But please let me know if you would have that at JeffreyDaugherty.com. Hit the contact button. And any way that you can help, any ideas that you have, please give me a call. There's actually a telephone number on the website, and you can also just contact me through the contact button on the website. But folks, as we morph now into our program, there's a reason why Ted Cruz believes that he hears from God. There's a reason why Ted Cruz believes that he was selected by the Lord to be president. He believes that he hears from the Lord. He believes that he was selected by the Lord because he does and because he was. That's right. I believe Ted Cruz hears from the Lord. I believe Rafael Cruz Sr., his dad, hears from the Lord. I believe that Ted Cruz was selected by the Lord to be president of the United States in this cycle. Just didn't get quite done because folks like the Christian Whistleblower and the New Cosmic Knowledge Network jumped up and said, not so fast. And we threw a monkey wrench in their plans, and I'm happy and excited that we did. And the reason Ted Cruz talks to the Lord, the reason Ted Cruz hears from the Lord, is because Ted Cruz is tuned into a shared consciousness. And Ted Cruz is tuned into a shared consciousness that has been created and strengthened over the past 2,000 years. And part of the reason why the Lord really exposed himself and why the Lord went all out and why you had Cruz going all out with an over-the-top religious rhetoric. We've never seen anything like the rhetoric that Rafael Cruz, Ted Cruz, Glenn Beck were spouting, is because this was part of their big final false flag play. And I've told you folks that if enough of us do our best, and if we can get this Christian whistleblower message out far enough and wide enough, that we can prevent the Lord from his attempt to perpetrate a final false flag. And when we get back from break, we're going to go ahead and talk about this more, and we're going to take a look at Plastic Jesus He lives. I'm Jeffrey Darty, the Christian whistleblower, and we will be right back after these messages.
Buckle up for adventure. Strap on your thinking gear and prepare yourself to be inspired. The 4th Annual Paradigm Symposium is coming again to Minneapolis, Minnesota on May 12th through the 15th. An eclectic cast of presenters, including Scott Walter from History Channel's America Unearthed, Randall Carlson of Sacred Geometry International, historian and ufologist Rich Dolan, conspiracy, cryptozoology, and UFO writer Nick Redfern, and keynote hermeticist Lon Milo Duquette, as well as several other researchers and pundits in the fields of the academic, the weird, and the unknown, with topics that range from archaeology and hidden history to alternative science, ancient aliens, paleo contact, and world mysteries. Tickets are now on sale at the website. To see all the details for this amazing event and symposium, and to get your tickets now, go to ParadigmSymposium.com. Come to learn, leave inspired.
And now, the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Darty.
Well, thank you, Veronica. And by the way, folks, you just heard the commercial for the Paradigm Symposium. It starts a week from today, actually, or a week from yesterday. It starts on the 12th, and the 12th would be a week from tomorrow. Starts on a week from tomorrow. I fly out a week from today. That's what had me confused. But a week from tomorrow, the Paradigm Symposium starts, and I will be a speaker at the Paradigm Symposium. So if you do call that number or go to the website for tickets, let them know that Jeffrey Darty sent you. That way, I'll get a double ration or something when they hand out the meals for the help. No, great people putting on that program, and we're looking very forward to being a part of it. Tonight, our program reaches back to one of the very first programs that we ever did, and it was on Blog Talk Radio. It was actually on July the 6th, 2012. Think about that. You know, 4 or 5 years ago, we did a program that was called White Steeples, Black Magic. It was one of the very first programs that we did, and you can actually still hear it. You can look down through the archives on Blog Talk Radio, and you can hear about White Steeples, Black Magic, a great program, and it basically talked about the creation of a tulpa or tulpe being the plural of tulpas. And this was brought to the Western mind by a lady named Alexandra David Neal. It had been a long-term idea and practice within Tibetan society and religion. But Alexandra David Neal was the first person to introduce it to the West. And indeed, Alexandra David Neal was a very, very interesting woman, a very pioneering woman. She was actually the first Western woman allowed into Tibet. The first Western woman allowed into Tibet. Alexandra David Neal also bicycled the path of the Tour de France. Alexandra David Neal received the equivalent of the Medal of Honor from the nation of France. She wrote at least 10 books. And she was personally honored by the Dalai Lama. So this is obviously a smart lady, an educated lady, a lady with both oars in the water, so to speak. Not a crazy person, not a nutty person, but a person of learning, a person of academia, and a person that literally traveled all over the world. And, of course, she was a pioneer. And I say all this so that you'll understand that she wasn't some kind of a crazy person when I tell you that she created a tulpa. She created a Friar Tuck type of tulpa. If you don't know what Friar Tuck looks like, go to your favorite web browser and type that in and hit images and you'll see a picture. And at first, this fat, happy friar that she created was only something in her mind. And then as she continued to focus her intention, it turned into a kind of a misty apparition. And then before you know it, it was as if he were a physical being. In fact, so much so that many of her comrades began to ask her about him because they were actually seeing him. They were actually seeing this tulpa as if he were a person. And David Neal in her book says that they had a lot of fun. They had a lot of enjoyment together. It wasn't anything sexual or kinky, so get that out of your mind. But he was a fat, jolly companion for her for quite some time. But then after a while, the friar began to lose weight. He began to get increasingly independent. He began to go off without David Neal. Some of the people would begin to see him without David Neal. And then he began to act malevolent, and she was tuned in enough to understand what was going on, so she decided it's time to get rid of this tulpa. Took her 6 months to get rid of him. Now think of that. Here's a woman schooled enough and skilled enough within the realms of meditation to be able to create a living, breathing, if you will, a manifestation tulpa that was able to physically manifest. And this tulpa was so strong, it took her 6 months to get rid of him. Think of how strong that tulpa must have been. And what is a tulpa? Well, a tulpa is basically the physical manifestation of energetic thought, the physical manifestation of energetic projection. It's you thinking, literally thinking a being into existence. It can happen. It does happen. This was merely the first first incident of it within the Western world, and Alexandra David Neal did it. She wrote that there's three stages. One, it's an image in the thinker's mind. Two, it becomes a misty manifestation. And three, it actually becomes its own corporeal form. And once the tulpa gets strong enough, the tulpa is able to manipulate matter. It can touch you. It can move things around, throw things, touch things, move things. So it's able to manipulate physical matter if it gets strong enough. Think of that. And David Neal said that they seem to be strengthened by music. They seem to be strengthened by emotion, of course, and they are greatly aided by strong, focused emotions. Now, we don't only have Alexandra David Neal to thank for this. There's also a lot of talk in scientific circles about tulpa. Again, tulpa being the plural of tulpa. Within science, there's a Russian scientist named Olga Tarati, and she actually was able, through her studies, to view creation of a tulpa from start to finish. It wasn't Alexandra David Neal's tulpa, but Dr. Olga Tarati, a Russian scientist, viewed the creation of a tulpa on a different and separate occasion than the one that David Neal herself created. There's also another scientist named Dr. Marvin Minsky. He also wrote to an extensive degree in the idea and the science of tulpa. Carl Jung, the great psychologist, talked about the active imagination and talked about it being able to be manifested visually. You know, talking about imaginary friends, talking. He didn't call it a tulpa. He called it the active imagination, but he wrote extensively and became very fascinated by the fact that tulpa can be created. And this is obviously a scientific form. And of course, this is in scientific writing. And then of course you have the Carlos Castaneda books, or Castaneda, I'm not sure how he pronounced it. And he was able to see a squirrel manifested in his hand. So it was a tulpa. Tulpa doesn't have to be human. It can also be a tulpa or an animal as well. Now, in pop culture, we've got a lot of references to tulpa. The Candyman movie, if you saw that, the villain in that movie was a tulpa. Of course, Freddy Krueger, Nightmare on Elm Street, that was a tulpa created by the thoughts of people. Few wrinkles in that one. There was a famous X-Files episode about a tulpa, And also the Twilight Zone talked about the tulpa, had a series about the tulpa. And, of course, we have our imaginary friends. We have monsters under the bed. We have the boogeyman. And even in things like UFO sightings, Bigfoot sightings, they tend to come in clusters because people are looking for them. More recently, things like Slender Man, if you remember Slender Man. And there's a person that I know, actually a person that I dated for a time, and I haven't dated many people, so I want to be careful. I don't want to, you know, have you be able to figure out who this is. But this is a smart person. This is an educated person. This is a thoroughly grounded person. This is a person of accomplishment within her field. And this is a person who is now, I'm 52, so she's got to be now probably 33, 34 years old. And from the time she was a little girl, every Christmas morning or Christmas Eve night, I'm not sure which one it was. It's been 5 or 6 years since I've talked to her. She sees Santa Claus. Now, don't laugh. This woman sees Santa Claus. And I remember talking with her, oh, you mean you like dream? No, I don't dream. I see him. He's a person. He's real. He's got the red coat. He's got the beard. He is a real person. I see Santa Claus. And Santa gives her a wish for the new year. But this is a person that sees Santa. And think about it. If Alexandra David Neal created a tulpa out of her own focused thoughts and intention, and she created over a period of about a year, I think it took, for him to fully manifest to that degree, how many years have people been thinking about and imagining the classic Santa? He really was born from a Coca-Cola advertisement, I believe, back in the 40s, I want to say. Let's say it was the 30s, just be very, very generous. 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. So let's say it's been 70 years of Santa, the concept of Santa. And over 70 years, how many people have been projecting intention and thought and energy and visualizing Santa? If I say Santa, bam, you know exactly what he looks like. You know exactly what he sounds like. You know exactly what he acts like. Why? Because Santa has become part of our collective intelligence. It's become part of our shared consciousness. And it very may well be that the explanation as to why this educated, smart woman of accomplishment, 32, 3 years old, whatever she is, sees Santa every Christmas, sees him like she would see you or me. Santa evidently has become a tulpa. There is a Santa tulpa, and he's probably a jolly old tulpa. She did not report seeing any elves. She did not report seeing any reindeer. She just reports seeing Santa. So if I didn't know the woman, I might be prone to dismiss her, but this lady, I believe she sees something, and the answer could very well be that Santa is a tulpa. There is a Santa tulpa out there. And basically, we've got a lot of modern spiritual applications that lend credence to the whole tulpa phenomena. Think about the group thought that goes on in spiritual situations. Think about the music, the color, the pageantry that goes on in spiritual situations. Think about what goes on in spiritual situations, and think about the things that people focus on. Think about the people focus on, the archetypes, if you will, and think about all the power of that intention as we begin to think about what we talked about back in 2012, did the church create a devil? As we expand that tonight to talk about plastic Jesus lives, let those thoughts ruminate for just a couple of minutes. I'm Jeffrey Daugherty. You're listening to The Christian Whistleblower, and we'll be right back after these messages. Well, hello, folks. This is Jeffrey Daugherty. I'd like to call your attention tonight and invite you to come to ChristianWhistleblower.com or JeffreyDaugherty.com. That's JeffreyDaugherty. And we've got our newest book. It's called Confessions of an Exorcist. It was recently featured on Coast to Coast AM. It was my pleasure to be on the show with George Norrie and to talk to many, many listeners. And Confessions of an Exorcist talks about over 30 years of dealings by yours truly within the realms of the supernatural. We talk about some supernatural incidents in my childhood. We talk about supernatural incidents while I was in the Air Force, like a haunted C-130 aircraft, seeing Nazi ghosts, and even hearing ghosts of Hitler himself in Germany while I was stationed there. We talk about abductions of people in the old Soviet Union. And then we move into more modern and more recent thoughts and experiences, demons in church. Oh my, a lot of stuff. And then we even get into floating witch doctors and the time that, hard to believe, folks, but I was dumped for a demon. Confessions of an Exorcist, all of these stories, and even more importantly, a call to realization of a new day within the understanding of things that we've always called demonic and our reactions to them. The book is Confessions of an Exorcist. It's by yours truly, Jeffrey Daugherty. You can get that on my website, jeffreydaugherty.com. You can order it in a real nice, high-quality paperback, or you can also get it for just $5 in the ebook version. Great book. I guarantee you that it will get rid of any fears you have of the supernatural. And I also share the easiest, most effective technique for ridding yourself of any type of spiritual oppression and even, heaven forbid, possession. That's Confessions of an Exorcist by yours truly, Jeffrey Daugherty. Go to jeffreydaugherty.com today and get your copy. I'm Jeffrey Daugherty, the Christian Whistleblower, encouraging you to get a hold of that book.
And now, back to the largest spiritual network on the planet, the Jeffrey Daugherty Show.
Well, thank you very much, Cliff Desmond. Cliff, one of the great radio voices of South Florida. And he's making reference to our Twitter following, over 125,000 followers on Twitter, and all of them into this spiritual realm as we are. Go ahead and follow me on Twitter. Go ahead and like me on Facebook. And let's continue to build the strongest and the largest spiritual network on the planet. John Tudor in the chat room says, small congregation tonight. Have I missed the money collection? Never too late to give money, John. Never too late to give money. You know, it's our second show back on the Blog Talk Radio platform, so the word is still getting out, I guess, but we appreciate everybody tuning in. And actually, the numbers that were surprising to me as I look back from Monday's program. So we are very happy to be here and very happy that you're here as well. Now, when we talk about the creation of Tulpa or Tulpe, we call to mind what Alexander David Neal said is very helpful in forming a Tulpa. She said, focused group thought, music, colorful, and power direction in intention, and power direction, focus projection of human thought. And think about these things. I think about it, just popped in my mind, these visions that people see of the Virgin Mary. Now, being a hardcore Protestant as I was, I usually just dismissed, oh, they see the Virgin Mary because they're a bunch of weirdos. Well, Do you really think that all the people that see Virgin Mary are just weirdos? Do you really think that all the people that see the Virgin Mary are just dummies? Or have a couple billion Catholics created a tulpa of Mary by their collective intentions, their collective projections, and their collective directed emotions? I mean, it's a powerful thing. How many people are praying those beads every day? Isn't our mother full of grace? Pray for us now and at the time of our death. Hail Mary, Mother of God, all that kind of stuff. That's a lot of powerful intention. And they do see Mary. But what we talked about back in 2012 was this. If you go to church, and I don't care what kind of church you go to a Christian church, Catholic church, Protestant church, one of the people that you hear talked about arguably as much as their God or as much as their plastic Jesus would be the devil. They talk about the devil a lot. They imagine the devil a lot. How much attention does the devil get in Catholic churches? How much attention does the devil get in Christian churches? So 4 years ago in 2012, we asked the question, did Christianity create the devil? Has Christianity, by its collective and focused attention by all of its parishioners, created a tulpa that is the devil? He's used for control. And my question then was he made on purpose? And you think about the boogeyman. When I was a kid, I grew up in the South, and the boogeyman was big. We were afraid of the boogeyman. And what were we afraid of the boogeyman? How was the boogeyman used? The boogeyman was leveraged by parents to keep their kids in line. If you get out of bed at night, the boogeyman's going to get you. If you don't come home before the streetlights come on, the boogeyman's going to get you. If you don't eat all of your broccoli, the boogeyman's going to get you. The boogeyman was leveraged as a control mechanism by parents over children. Doesn't that sound familiar? If you don't give enough money, the devil's going to get you. If you don't come to church, the devil's going to get you. If you don't come to confession, the devil's going to get you. If you don't do what we say, the devil's going to get you. If you don't go where we tell you to go, the devil's going to get you. Boogeyman, devil, elements of control used by parents and by priests and pastors alike. Is the devil really anything more than a modern ecclesiastic boogeyman? I think 4 years ago we got it right when we talked about white steeples and black magic. I believe that the church created the devil, used the methodology, the Tibetan methodology of the creation of tulpa, to use the collective intent of the gathered congregations to make themselves a devil, to make themselves a devil that could be used as a controlling mechanism to keep all the people in line. I believe that 4 years ago we were right when we said that the church created the devil. Now, I got an email, and I'm going to read that email. I got the email a couple of days ago, and it literally made me, I was going to say it staggered me. It didn't literally stagger me, but it made me sit back in my chair. It struck me. It was like, holy crap, Batman. And it was amazing to me. And I'm looking for it. I don't know if I'm going to be able to find it exactly, but basically he said to me, Jeff, you know, love your work. You've really helped me. He's actually putting together a trip for us to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and speak to a group there, which I really look forward to. Back when I was a evangelist, we went to Tulsa and preached at some churches there. And I really like Oklahoma, and I really like the city of Tulsa. especially. But he said, you know, we're going to try to put this together for you. Here it is. And he said this to me. He said, give me just 1 second. All right. He had received my chakra mantra document. He said, thank you. It was very helpful to my meditations. I've shared it with some other friends. And he actually had somehow listened to that old show, and he said, I agree with your assertions that the church created the devil. And then here's what sat me back in my chair, folks. Here's what blew me away, quite literally. He says, question, in all capital letters, and there's a colon. And then it says, since the church created the devil, is it also possible that the church created a plastic Jesus that does have power and does have abilities to perform miracles and other supernatural feats in our realm? Folks, I was floored by that question. If the church did create the devil, which it seems is a reality, is it also possible that the church has created a plastic Jesus that does have power, does have abilities to perform miracles, to perform supernatural feats in our realm? Very, very interesting question. Is it possible that the church has created a plastic Jesus that does have power to do miracles, that does have power to create supernatural feats in our realm? Well, what do we know about the plastic Jesus that the church has created? What do we know about him? Well, we know that people do worship him. We know that people sing songs about him all the time. We know that they talk about Jesus, the plastic Jesus, all the time. We know that multiple occasions people see plastic Jesus. We know that on multiple occasions people talk to plastic Jesus. Hell, Ted Cruz and Rafael Cruz talk to plastic Jesus all the time. And I'm being a little bit facetious, but in reality, they do claim to do just that. And I found it very interesting. We won't get into this tonight, but if you listen to John Kasich's resignation, he kept saying, I know the Lord. And it was almost like he was emphasizing it. The Lord has something big for me to do. The Lord isn't finished with me. And it just makes me wonder if Kasich didn't get tapped on the shoulder by the Lord too and say, hey, you know what? Not this time. Ted let us down. But you know what? Maybe next time you're my guy. So keep your eye on John Kasich. And there's got to be a reason why he was making such a big thing about the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. And I don't think it's just to appeal to evangelicals. That's not really his base. But at any rate, people talk to plastic Jesus. People hear from plastic Jesus. People see plastic Jesus. And if you think about it, how many people are saved, quote unquote, by plastic Jesus? How many people are healed, quote unquote, by plastic Jesus? How many demons, quote unquote, are cast out, quote unquote, in the name of plastic Jesus? Why do people see him? Why do people hear him? Why do entities respond to his name? Why do our miracles worked in his name? Why does plastic Jesus seem to have power? I've always chalked it up to just the power of the intention of the person using the name. I've always said, oh, plastic Jesus works because the person that's using that name thinks it should work, and it powers their intention. But that means there's a lot of people with powerful intention, because there are a lot of miracles and healings wrought in the name of plastic Jesus. So as my friend asked me this question, I begin to say, wait a minute, maybe I've been wrong, because there's not that many people we know that have that strong of an intention. And yet there's a lot being done in the name of the Jesus, and I'm especially interested in why entities respond to the name of Plastic Jesus. We'll be right back after this with our final segment and some more, wow, crazy stuff. I'm Jeffrey Daugherty, the Christian Whistleblower. We'll be right back.
Buckle up for adventure. Strap on your thinking gear and prepare yourself to be inspired. The 4th Annual Paradigm Symposium is coming again to Minneapolis, Minnesota on May 12th through the 15th. An eclectic cast of presenters, including Scott Walter from History Channel's America Unearthed, Randall Carlson of Sacred Geometry International, historian and ufologist Rich Dolan, conspiracy, cryptozoology, and UFO writer Nick Redfern, and keynote hermeticist Lon Milo Duquette, as well as several other researchers and pundits in the fields of the academic, the weird, and the unknown, with topics that range from archaeology and hidden history to alternative science, ancient aliens, paleo contact, and world mysteries. Tickets are now on sale at the website. To see all the details for this amazing event and symposium, and to get your tickets now, go to ParadigmSymposium.com. Come to learn, leave inspired.
Well, hello, folks. Jeffrey Daugherty here. Most of you know that I'm an author of several books, and a lot of them are kind of big, thick, somewhat intimidating paperbacks. But we have produced, in fact, all of our books are available in e-book format, but we have produced three exclusive e-book type publications. I wanted to call your attention to them because sometimes they get overlooked, but they're incredibly powerful. In fact, right now, with all of the news about Scientology, we have an ebook that's called Rocket Man, The Crazy Life and Work of L. Ron Hubbard. I wrote that. It's not a book from Scientology, but it looks at the crazy life and work of L. Ron Hubbard, and also talks about things like it could very well be that he and Jack Parsons, who were the best of friends, might have precipitated the event that started the modern UFO movement in the United States. Rocket Man, The Crazy Life and Work of L. Ron Hubbard. Also available is Serpents and Doves in the Garden of the Gods. It tells the story of the pre-Adamite creation and destruction of that perfect world by the Lord. It talks about the creation of the first hominid form on planet Earth, which was not men, but rather the reptilian majestic serpents. Talks about the creation of Homo sapiens sapien, or us, who I call the Elohumans, and talks about the hybridization of reptile and human to create the perfect form for planet Earth. That's Serpents and Doves in the Garden of the Gods. And also there is the spiritual wisdom of Napoleon Hill as gleaned from Think and Grow Rich. Many of you know the classic business book, which is probably the greatest business book, with apologies to Donald Trump, who always says it's the art of the deal. But the spiritual wisdom of Napoleon Hill takes the spiritual wisdom out of Think and Grow Rich, and you will think and grow rich by applying the spiritual wisdom of Napoleon Hill. So check out Rocket Man, The Crazy Life and Work of L. Ron Hubbard. Check out Serpents and Doves in the Garden of the Gods. And check out The Spiritual Wisdom of Napoleon Hill. Our ebooks on JeffreyDaugherty.com.
And now, back to the largest spiritual network on the planet, The Jeffrey Daugherty Show.
All right, folks, we're back for our final segment tonight. And we know that people see Plastic Jesus. We know that people hear Plastic Jesus. We know Plastic Jesus talks to people. We know miracles are worked in his name. And we know that entities respond to his name. And we also know that Plastic Jesus is completely, totally fake. We know that Paul created plastic Jesus. We know that even his name is a linguistic ludicrosity. We know that plastic Jesus is totally and completely fake. But the question is, if he is fake, if he is plastic Jesus, as we know he is, then how is he able to do what he does? What gives a fake plastic Jesus such power that entities respond to his name? Now, what are you talking about, Jeff? Well, I'm talking about mainly the Roman Catholic and the Protestant, Roman Protestant rites of exorcism. I guess it's only proper to say the Roman Catholic rites of exorcism, and then the Roman Protestants kind of just do their freewheeling casting out of devils. And I did that for over 20 years. That's what that book, Confessions of an Exorcist, is really all about. And I have cast out tens of thousands of demons in the name of Jesus. Now, I did switch to the name of Yeshua, and I found that the name of Yeshua was much more effective, and I thought it was just effective because it actually is a real name. The man's name was Yeshua. His name wasn't Jesus. There was no J in the English language until the 17th century. He was never called Jesus. Jesus is a fake name. And so I started using Yeshua. I thought Yeshua was better. It was better, but I thought it was better just because it was a real name. But there's also an energetic reason that Yeshua is better, and that's because the hue is within that name, Yeshua. And when you hue, that creates a frequency and a harmonic vibration that an unbalanced entity is unable to stay within the presence of, but that's another show. But when the Catholics come with their smoke and their dresses and their scarves and their water and their cookies and all of the stuff, you know, they press the cookie on the forehead and they've got, you know, the things that the little metal things with, symbology, they'll press that on the forehead. And it's all pretty impressive. But, I mean, it takes a while, and there's a lot of sweating, there's a lot of bleeding, usually a lot of cussing, sometimes there's a lot of throwing up and thrashing about, but eventually it seems, at the name of Jesus, that these entities finally do relinquish their hold, seemingly at the name of Jesus. Now, if that name is a linguistic ludicrosity, if that name is of a person that is created wholly within the minds of Paul and his predecessors, then why do entities leave at that name? Entities know that plastic Jesus is fake. Entities know that plastic Jesus was nowhere near the real name. So why do they honor it? Again, I've always thought they honor it because it's the power of the intention of the caster outer that's doing it. Whether it be a Catholic in sacramental robes with all of his accoutrements, or whether it be some crazy Pentecostal just, you know, using some holy oil on the person. What if it's more, though? Because as I began to think about this, and I began to consider this, when I got that message from the gentleman's name is Tom, I started thinking, I know these people. I spent 20 years with these people. And I know what I know about the Catholic clergy. We all know what we've read about the Catholic clergy. Tremendous sexual sin, tremendous financial sin, tremendous, you know, just disparagement and discouragement within the Catholic clergy. And the Protestant clergy is not much better. Are we to believe that there's really that many people there with strong enough focus, enough intention to use a fake name and still get results? Well, lacking a better answer, that's what I've always believed. But Tom got me thinking and got me meditating and got me considering, and now I'm thinking, what if plastic Jesus, over 2,000 years of worship, over 2,000 years of music, over 2,000 years of praises and worship and obedience to his name, after 2,000 plus years of directed, focused, hugely emotional, powerful intention. What if Tom's right and there is a plastic Jesus tulpa? Plastic Jesus, I'm convinced, lives. Plastic Jesus walks the earth. Plastic Jesus inhabits our spiritual realms. There is a tulpa created by Focused Christian Worship who is Plastic Jesus, and he has become such a strong entity that he's able to banish lower entities when his name is invoked enough. Makes much more sense to me than the mere power of the intention of a person using the name, which may still be responsible for some part of it. But I'm convinced that not only has the church created a devil, the church has created a plastic Jesus. And as Tom suggested, he does indeed have power in our realm, at least in the he has ability to banish lesser spirits. Plastic Jesus lives. He's the creation of Dr. Lordenstein, or Dr. Paulenstein, if you will, and their faithful servants, Christian Igors, Roman Protestant Igor, Roman Catholic Igor. Plastic Jesus lives, and he walks the earth, and he capable of supernatural feats. So what does that mean to us? That means, well, it's something we have to be aware of. It's something that we have to consider. It's certainly nothing to fear, because even Plastic Jesus, a 2,000-year-old entity, still can't stand in the face of balanced energy and the projection of it. So nothing to be afraid of, but it sure does explain a few things. And it sure does, I think it should give us hope and understanding and realization that just because that in that name of Plastic Jesus things are being done does not mean that there is any real true efficaciousness, if you will, in that name of Plastic Jesus. No, it's just that there is a Plastic Jesus entity that is big enough, bad enough, and strong enough to kick out some lesser entities. Wow. Interesting stuff. Now, you won't hear from us again until Monday, when you'll hear the Christian Whistleblower Show at 9 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, and I will be on the Vinnie Eastwood program on Monday as well. So until then, jeffreydaugherty.com, christianwhistleblower.com, and above all else, folks, I'm Jeffrey Daugherty wishing you peace and light and encouraging you to unindoctrinate yourself.
Stand by for unindoctrination. Stay connected to the Christian Whistleblower at www.christianwhistleblower.com. Follow Jeffrey Daugherty on Twitter at Unindoctrinate. On Facebook, Jeffrey Daugherty and Jeffrey Daugherty Show. Visit christianwhistleblower.com today. Learn to unindoctrinate yourself, create yourself, and live the life you'll love. We hope you've enjoyed this visit. Join us again next time here on your mutual broadcast station.